The headlines this hour, day 75 of the giant Gulf oil spill. 44 nations expressed their readiness to help quell the disaster. Violent surges in Afghanistan, the Taliban attack targets across the country. Israel refuses to apologize for its attack on the Gaza-bound aid flotilla that killed 9 people. And Uruguay beat Ghana and the Netherlands defeat Brazil to enter the semifinals.
It is 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, our top story comes out of the U.S. 75 days into the disastrous oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. BP and the U.S. government are still unable to stop the crude gushing into the water.
Well, the energy giant and the White House are now facing mounting complaints for ignoring foreign help offers. The U.S. Coast Guard says there have been over 100 offers of help from more than 40 nations. Many of the offers, however, are weeks old and only a few of them have been accepted. More than 20,000 volunteers have signed up to help in Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi, but fewer than 1 in 6 has received an assignment or the training required to take part in some chores. BP's latest efforts to drill 2 relief wells are seen as the best chance to stop the flow of oil, but the Coast Guard says it is not expected before mid-August. Millions of gallons of crude have been gushing into the sea since an April explosion that killed 11 workers on the Deepwater Horizon oil platform. For more on that story, we're now joined by Juan Pablo Petarque, who is with the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, who joins us via satellite from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, from the beginning, many have said the oil spill was an act of God. With Hurricane Alex now disrupting efforts to contain the ongoing spill 75 days later, how much more ammunition do such people have to argue their side of the case?
Well, an act of God. I mean, what the United States right now is being faced with, what seems to be their worst nightmare, having to deal not only with an oil spill but the hurricane, which will take the petroleum into places it would never have gone before. So, it's a matter right now of cooperation rather than pointing fingers. Before the situation it gets worse, they have already been landlocked. The efforts to clean up the oil have already been shut down due to storms. But I think it's a matter of time before the worst happens. The worst thing would be for the hurricane to actually for the storms to evolve into the full blown hurricane, resulting in a greater damage. So instead of holding back and pointing fingers and blaming, there should be an effort to clean up the oil a lot faster than it's occurring right now.
Well, now, as the days go by, the ill effects of an oil spill are becoming clearer. Now there are fears that arsenic levels could go through the roof and this can cause birth defects in fish, etc., as well as affect others up the food chain. Can this and will this be disregarded as fear-mongering, or will action be taken, do you think?
Right. Well, I think, and it's obvious that the ecological damages will not go unheard, absolutely not. Neither will the effects on humans. The fact that the petroleum may make its way into Alabama through floods or the other Gulf states, the United States has reacted and knows that there are these problems. Now, if we start out on the human aspect of it, the families being evacuated from the areas of flood are prohibited from going back unless they have a official hazmat training, as reports have come in saying that even the slightest contact with the infected water could cause cancer and a variety of different health issues. Now, if on the nature side of the situation, there are groups, various groups that have been, well, not only taking care of the situation, but I wouldn't be surprised if they begin to lobby a lot stronger for the United States to act with a lot more ecological responsibility. And this isn't only a problem of the government, but also, you know, one which involves BP and the other companies involved. However, the problem shouldn't be focused around, like I said before, pointing fingers. That could be taken care of later. Right now, the most pressing issue is addressing the cleanup so as to limit the effect on the on both nature and humans, and the long-term effect that they may have on the the ocean and the ocean systems as a whole.
All right, let's move on to the politics of this oil spill. Now, many countries, as we have pointed out in our story, have offered help, including Iran. In a desperate situation like the one the U.S. is in right now, would it not be both environmentally and indeed politically smart for Obama to listen to all advice, whether from friend or foe?
Right. Absolutely. I'm completely in accord, agreeing with this. However, due to a law in the United States that prohibits foreign ships from operating within U.S. waters, there have been setbacks to this. Obama has done a good job at allowing foreign ships to come and help. Recently, the Taiwanese A-Whale, the largest skimmer in the world, has been allowed to come into the Louisiana area to clean up. However, and it's true that there have been 107 offers from different nations to help with the effort. However, it takes the U.S. State Department about 7 weeks to permit them to come and operate. And although Obama has facilitated this process, I think it's a matter of, you know, no longer, like you said, it's no longer a matter of any friend or foe. It's a matter of getting this done as soon as possible. So I think that the government now would be correct in being more lax with their policies and laws in regards to cleanup. If it's a matter of security, you know, then send in military ships to monitor the other ships. But right now, the main focus should be the cleanup. And that's why they should be a little more lax with their policies and laws.
Right. Juan Pablo Petrarque with the Council on Hemispheric Affairs joining us there via satellite from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for your insight.
Well, moving on now, the U.S. market falls amid concerns about the sustainability of the economic recovery. The Dow Jones fell more than 40 points, approaching 9,600 at market close on Friday. It's on track to post a nearly 5% drop this week alone. NASDAQ is also showing losses of nearly 6% for the week. Meanwhile, S&P have been recording losses of 5%. Weak jobs reports and a decline in factory orders are feeding to the loss of confidence in the U.S. financial market. Investors are starting to wonder if the weak economic recovery is starting to stall.
More grim news for the U.S. economy. The Labor Department reports that some 125,000 jobs were cut last month. The loss was driven by the end of 225,000 temporary consensus jobs. The disappointing jobs report added to investors' concerns about the economy as the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell almost 100 points. President Barack Obama also seems not to be satisfied with the economic recovery pace.
We are headed in the right direction. But as I was reminded on a trip to Racine, Wisconsin earlier this week, we're not headed there fast enough for a lot of Americans. We're not headed there fast enough for me either. The recession dug us a hole of about 8 million jobs deep, and we continue to fight headwinds from volatile global markets.
Well, the latest figures suggest businesses are still slow to hire amid a weak economic recovery. The White House has repeatedly warned that unemployment will remain high for the rest of the year. The jobless rate fell to 9.5% in June as more than 500,000 Americans quit the job hunt. Analysts say people are getting more and more pessimistic about the health of the economic recovery. In other news, there is no end in sight to violence in Afghanistan as Taliban militants step up attacks in regions which were considered safe before.
Several people, including three foreign nationals and two U.S. and NATO soldiers, were killed in separate attacks across the country. Now, militants stormed an American building in the northern city of Kunduz, killing three foreigners and two Afghans. At least 20 other people, including several foreigners, were also injured. Separately, an attack on a foreign military base in the southern city of Kandahar has left several foreign soldiers and Afghans injured. At least two civilians were injured in an attack in the western city of Herat. Also on Friday, two U.S.-led NATO soldiers were killed in the east and south of the country. 325 foreign soldiers have lost their lives in Afghanistan so far this year.
The compound of Development Alternatives Incorporation building came under militants' attack in northern Kunduz province before dawn. Several people, including three foreign nationals, were killed. According to a provincial governor, the foreign fatalities included a German and a British national, as well as one Filipino citizen. More than 20 other people, including a number of foreigners, were also injured. President Hamid Karzai blames foreign mercenaries for the incident. The Taliban have already claimed responsibility for the attack.
The Taliban militants have actually stepped up their attacks against high-profile foreign targets across Afghanistan. And these latest attacks are believed to be part of a new nationwide Taliban offensive against the U.S. and NATO-led forces across Afghanistan.
Friday's attacks on the U.S. building in the north and another foreign military base in the southern Kandahar province came just days after militants targeted one of the biggest NATO bases in the east. The latter was the third ground assault against foreign military bases in Afghanistan over the past 5 weeks. On May 19th, the Bagram Air Base north of Kabul came under a similar attack. Such attacks are increasing in number, sophistication and intensity, not only in the south, but in eastern and northern regions, which used to be considered relatively safe.
The growth of the Taliban militants we see has not only turned into great concern for the foreign troops, for the U.S. and NATO forces stationed in this country, but also for the Afghan people. And as there is no sign of peace inside, there is no less hope among the Afghan people that they would be able to live in peace in the future, despite the presence of thousands of foreign troops in this war-torn country.
The U.S. and NATO have deployed around 140,000 troops in Afghanistan. They claim their presence there is to remove the Taliban and bring security to the country. But people on the ground can't help but have a different take on it all.
The U.S. military say that these attacks shows that the Taliban are on the verge of collapse, but people on the streets don't agree with the U.S. military. They say that these growing attacks of the Taliban militants and the growing death toll of American NATO forces across Afghanistan show that the Taliban militants are winning this war.
Israel says it will not make a formal apology for its attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla last month. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described Israel's attack on the aid-carrying ships as an act of self-defense. Nine Turkish nationals were killed when Israeli commandos boarded one of the ships and opened fire on passengers. The action sparked major international anger and damaged ties between Turkey and Israel. Ankara has recalled its ambassador from Tel Aviv and canceled military drills with Israel. It has also twice denied Israel the use of its airspace. Turkey has demanded a formal apology and compensation for the victims' families. An international inquiry and lifting of the Gaza blockade are also on Turkey's wish list.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. Day 75 of the giant Gulf oil spill. 44 nations expressed their readiness to help quell the disaster. Violent surges in Afghanistan, the Taliban attack targets across the country. Israel refuses to apologize for its attack on the Gaza-bound aid flotilla that killed nine people. And Uruguay beat Ghana and the Netherlands defeat Brazil to enter the semifinals.
Coming up in the the second half of this news bulletin. We'll tell you about how Italy's Berlusconi has been hit by yet another scandal. In the UK, a court of appeal has given a reprieve to anti-war campaigners who are facing eviction from London's Parliament Square. Organisers of the anti-war demonstrations say they have been allowed to stay until at least July the 19th. The court of appeal says the case should be heard before a full court as soon as possible. The protesters faced eviction after the Mayor of London won a High Court battle this week to evict them.
Germany's new president has been sworn into office following a difficult election earlier this week. Chancellor Angela Merkel's candidate Christian Wolff was previously the premier of the western state of Lower Saxony. Wolff was elected after three rounds of voting and over a record-breaking 9 hours. He succeeds Horst Köhler, who resigned back in May after he appeared to suggest German troops abroad were defending Berlin's economic interests. Wolff won praise in his previous role for appointing Germany's first minister of Turkish origin. Criticism is once again mounting over a controversial U.S. military base in the Japanese city of Okinawa.
The city plans to file a lawsuit against the Japanese government for failing to tackle the local residents' needs. Okinawan Mayor Yoichi Iha says he plans to file a lawsuit before March next year to question the government's policy in court. The complaint will argue that the U.S. Butenma Air Base threatens the safety of Okinawans and violates the country's constitution. This after Japan's new Prime Minister Naoto Kan said he is committed to a deal reached in May to relocate the U.S. base to Okinawa's Hinoko region. The island's governor has called the plan, quote, absolutely inexcusable and against the will of local residents.
At least 31 civilians have been killed in clashes between government forces and local fighters in Mogadishu, Somalia. Medics in the area say that most of the victims died when heavy artillery hit their homes. They say almost 100 others have been injured in the deadly clashes. The fighting is still raging on. Reports say that on Thursday night, the Somali president himself joined Somali soldiers in an attack on local fighters. Well, a new scandal involving Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has hit the Italian press.
This comes following revelations by the Brazilian newspaper Estado regarding the Italian Prime Minister's recent visit to Brazil.
Italy's tycoon Prime Minister, Mr. Silvio Berlusconi, is once again heading towards difficult times. On Thursday, Brazilian daily Estadão reported that Mr. Berlusconi had allegedly spent an evening with six lap dancers during his official visit to Brazil on Monday, 28th of June. Estadão reported that some of the girls were offered jobs on Italian television following their performance. This is not the first scandal of its kind involving the Prime Minister. Last year, his alleged connection to a prostitution and call girl ring rocked the Italian political scene. The Prime Minister's press office rapidly dismissed the allegations, but did confirm Mr. Berlusconi's presence at a post-meeting party, which saw the participation of, quote, traditional Brazilian dancers.
This is what follows from the idea Berlusconi has with women in general. The future of Italy's women is now literally thrown away. Only one in three women with a degree in Italy manages to find a job. It's a shame.
But those close to the Prime Minister remind the Italian people that Berlusconi's government has a high number of female ministers and that women's participation has not reduced. Although Mr. Berlusconi denies all allegations, his moral standards and his respectability as the nation's leader are once again brought under the spotlight. Matthew Stevens, Press TV, Rome.
Well, with that, we come to an end of world news here on Press TV. Don't forget to log on to our website, presstv.ir, for more details on these stories and a lot more. The website.